chapter 1.
Good morning.
Morning. It's on.
Yes. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yes. You can imagine, before we start the word and the greetings are that low, we say, count your blessings. Sorry, girls, and can I just say this brief testimony?
Mm-hmm.
We sang a song, count your blessings. Name them one by one. And I sat there listening to Gilson saying, I can't pronounce the word E. But when he said, I can't pronounce the word E, I sat there and said, Lord, I want to thank you for my husband. Gilson grew in the villages. And at year 8, his parents could not afford to take him to secondary school. He started to work for his education at year 8. And when he said, I can't pronounce the word E, I said, Lord, you have brought him this far. I know where he came from. I know his struggles to get education. He left school at year 9 because his parents could not afford. But all that he did was self-teaching himself. And when I met Gilson, he got a job in the railways and he needed to do all these tests. And I said, gave it all and taught my husband until he passed all his driving tests. And then again, when he left here to go to training as spurgeons, Gilson had no education, secondary education at all. He asked me to leave my job. I left my job in order to teach my husband. And I count the I can be emotional, but I thank God that he has brought him far. Even with my teaching in his English language, which is our second language, he managed to pass his degree. I count every blessing on him. If he can't speak English, sometimes I say, Lord, you have brought him far. I have sacrificed all that I have for my husband to speak English. I count my blessings.
Amen.
Now, let's come to our reading this morning. It's from the book of Ruth. It says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Malchon and Kilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth, after they had lived there about 10 years. Both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, we will go with you to your people. But Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then give birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed their mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was dead because of them. And the women explained, can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. So says the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you for your reading, Jania, and your brief testimony. Today is Mother's Day. Do you agree with me? Mothers, what is going to happen to you today? Have you something in plans? Have you? Oh, nice words, isn't it? Some mothers have received presents. Others haven't. Maybe later on in the day they are going to be spoiled. I don't know. Right. Today being a Mothering Sunday, we are all here to remember that. And we'll cling to that. And next year we'll say, oh, last year's Mothering Sunday, we did this. So we cling to that bit of information. Today, it's a day set aside to remember mothers. With that in mind, I want you to look at the clip on the screen. Cling on. Cling on. Yes. No, not the second, the first one. It's going to the next one before, right. The picture is beautiful on this one. Oh, you love it. Yours is a bit whitewashed. My one is beautiful. Yes. Actually, it reminds me of a woman who was preaching in her sermon. She spoke about the woman in the book of Mark chapter 14. This woman had anointed Jesus with the most expensive perfume. And other people were bothering this woman. And Jesus said, leave her alone. She has done something great. And wherever this gospel is preached, she will be remembered because of this. So we cling on to that bit of information. That woman was my wife. She was preaching in one of her sermons. And she used that story. Up to now, I remember that story. I cling on to what you said on that day. Leave this woman alone. She has done a great thing. In a similar pattern, there's also a woman in the book of Ruth, whom today we are going to hear her story. And we too who cling on to that story. Amen. Scholars have come up with different ideas about the book of Ruth. And one of the things that they come up with is about those names. Forgive me the... Whoa, where is it gone now? Is it me? It's all... Oh, yeah, there it is. All right. Manhallon means sickness. Forgive me for this spelling on there. Kilion means failing. Orpah means she who returns. Naomi means sweetness. Ruth means female companion. In reality, God is for all situations. Amen? So you can say, well, those names mean what they mean. But in all, encompassing everything, God is for all situations. All right? So Ruth, we've heard that Bible story. Sorry to say this, I don't want to annoy mothers in here. But the culture or the society where I grew up in, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, they don't see eye to eye. They are not that friendly, no. But when I came to this country, I was shocked to hear that the mother-in-law accompanied her daughter on their honeymoon trip. Ah! Where I come from, these two, they don't go that near to each other. So, Ruth, what she is trying to demonstrate here is unselfishness. Ruth is not selfish in here. I've given you an analogy of the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law that I know of. They are not that friendly. But here, Ruth is demonstrating a different scene altogether. Imagine, her husband has died. But she says, I'll go with you. Where you die, I will die. Really? In the Shona people, that daughter-in-law will say, it's done and dusted, I will look for another man. But Ruth says, no, I will go with you. But before we rub everything away, Ruth was also fulfilling what scripture had already said. Jesus was going to be born. Right? And Micah, in his story, he also says, in this town, the Lord will be born. Hence, we're surprised now. They are returning to this very same town where they lived because they were famine. They went to Moab. If you look at the genealogy of Jesus, Ruth's name is appearing there. It's the great-grandmother of Jesus. But she's not a Jew. He's a Moabite. Right? So, this whole story has got something hidden in it that we just read like we're reading under the Bible stories. But in essence, Ruth is teaching us not to be selfish. Get rid of the selfish attitudes. After Ruth's husband of 10 years died, he remained a companion of Naomi. She left her own country and went with Naomi. In verse 8, Naomi tells her two daughters-in-law to go back to their respective mothers. It is what happens in verse 10 that makes me change my attitudes as well. There are two women. They all say, we will go back with you to your people. Of the two ladies, there was one who was speaking from deep down in her heart. There was one who was not selfish. There was one who really meant what she was saying. That is Ruth. So she clung on to what she was saying. But Orpah, she's not alone in that situation. There are some people today who say the words that they don't do because they are selfish. They also cling to that selfishness in their lives. But Ruth is saying today, please throw that out the window. Stop being selfish. I was looking on the internet as I was preparing this sermon, And I found this little story. It goes like this. Remember, my subheading here is about selfishness. All right? The story goes on to say, the French people speak of a disease which they call, this is my little bit of French, la malade du moi. This means sickness. This means me sickness in English. Jesus' disciples also suffered from this sickness. They had selfishness. You remember when he asked for them to find food for these people? What did they say? Where can we find food to feed all these people? The selfishness. Before you realize, they were selfish. In today's world, strides of discoveries have been done. But no one can find cure for selfishness. Only Jesus Christ can cure this. He is the great physician. He said himself in Philippians 2. Anyone with a Bible there, please open Philippians 2 and let's read together. Philippians 2 verse 3 and 4. Whoever gets there first, please read to us. Philippians 2 verse 3 and 4. Thank you. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest of others too. This is what Ruth is demonstrating here. She's not selfish. Naomi, I will go with you. Your people will be my people. My God, your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. I've read this verse read several times at wedding feasts. When someone is preaching at a wedding, they use this verse very much. I want to tell you, selfishness damages. Selfishness makes more harm than good in whoever is selfish. It cheats, it robs, it murders. So to get on with others, get rid of selfishness. Then you'll find life easier. This is why Ruth did it. She knew that if I am selfish, I'll be struggling within myself. So let me get rid of this selfishness and go with Naomi. Though she is my mother-in-law, though the son has died. In true sense, she could have just dumped her and looked for another man. But she didn't do that. Mother-in-law and daughter-in-law don't see eye to eye. But she got rid of all that and she went with her mother-in-law to demonstrate a new type of relationship. Get rid of selfishness. Naomi tried in vain to convince her two daughter-in-laws to return to their own mothers. But Ruth, whom I think the Holy Spirit was speaking to her, she said, no, I'm not going to do that. I will go with you. Where you die, I will die. Cling on to such words. Cling on to them if you are really sincere. Christ himself, our Redeemer, he said, as we have read in Philippians, don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. Get rid of selfishness. One other thing that interested me here also is about Naomi. When she's talking about husbands, she said, do you think I'm going to have sons? Even if I have sons tonight, can you wait for them to be your husbands? Ruth is not looking at that. She knows there is a special husband. Can someone open the Bible on Isaiah 54 verse 5? Naomi, being a Jewish woman, she should have known the scriptures which talk about husbands. But she now says, go back, I cannot have sons who can be your husband. But Ruth says, I will go with you. Your God will be my God. She doesn't need a husband anymore. Anyone who is on that verse? Isaiah 54, verse 5. Let's cling on to that verse. God is my husband. Even if I don't have an earthly husband, I don't need one. God is my husband. God is my everything. You saw those names there. I said, in reality, God is for all situations. God is my husband. I will cling on to that. Jesus is my redeemer. I will cling on to that. Because he's the one who knows my life inside out. These earthly things will come and go, but Jesus Christ will remain forever. He is the perfect redeemer. He is the one we should look forward to. Doesn't the writer of Hebrews say, let's keep focusing on Jesus Christ. Let's keep on focusing on Jesus Christ, the perfecter of our faith. That's our focus. We should cling on to that. Naomi said, no, I don't worry about husbands. I will go with you. Your God will be my God. In other words, your husband will be my husband. I don't want these earthly husbands. I want your God, who is now redeeming the people in Bethlehem, where you ran away because there was famine. You were coming to Moab because there was food here. But now you've heard God is saving those people there. I will go with you because your God is a saving God. I will go with you. What about bitterness? We've read Naomi has been in Moab for closer to 10 years. Yes? Having said that, now they've returned. I was looking at the distance between the two places, Bethlehem and Moab. The distance is about 70 miles. In those days, there were no airplanes, there were no buses, there were no cars. I think they were using camel, donkeys, or they were typing. Depends how many words they were typing per minute. So, imagine Naomi. She left Moab with all this bitterness on foot. If she was on a donkey, I think that donkey was feeling very heavy. Because she's carrying, the donkey is carrying someone. Plus bitterness on top. So when you go in your cars with bitterness, you are consuming more petrol. Be careful. So if you have got bitterness in your mind, leave the bitterness out and then go in the car without bitterness. Because before you realize you're running out of petrol. Because bitterness is heavy. Here, Naomi, for 70 miles, 70 kilometers, yeah, 70 miles, she was carrying this bitterness in herself. Depriving herself of happiness, depriving herself of joy, depriving herself of friends. Because people who see someone who's grumpy, they turn away from you if you are grumpy. I can't spend a day with a wife who is grumpy. I would rather go somewhere. But, no, not somewhere to look for another one. No, to do other things. Because if I'm sitting closer to you, I'm attracted because of the love that we have with one another. But if you are grumpy, how can I be sitting closer to you? Oh, poor Ruth. She endured all that. So they traveled all together and went to Bethlehem. But Naomi, she forgets. She's a Jewish woman. She forgets. Jewish people, they've got only one God. Right? And in her own words, she says, I've heard what God is saving people in Bethlehem, so I'm going there. But now, she gives herself such names in the end. You heard what she said? When Jenea read to us, she says, when they got there, verse 20, do not call me Naomi. She told them, call me Mara. Be careful some names that we give ourselves. Is that what God wants you to be? What is God called you to be? And you want to change it to suit yourself. Can't Naomi realize how great God is? You remember that hymn that we sung? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. One, three people have died in front of her. In Moab. She's not the dead one. She's still alive. She's excluding that gift or that blessing. She's still alive. Right? Three people have died. She's in a foreign country. No one has attacked her. We've heard about xenophobia in South Africa or other countries. whereby foreigners are attacked. She lived there, she was not attacked. She doesn't count that blessing. She's got now a daughter-in-law whose husband has died. And she says, I will cling to you. Your God shall be my God. She has excluded that. And he says, don't call me Naomi. What does Naomi mean? Sweetness. What has taken your sweetness away now? And you say to God, no, I'm no longer sweet. If God has made you sweet, no one can change you. Ladies and gentlemen, God has made you sweet, remain sweet. So she says, now call me Mara. Wow. Mara means bitter. Brothers and sisters, we need to get rid of bitterness. We need to get rid of bitterness. Bitterness deprives you of joy. Where is bitterness? In your heart. Someone open Proverbs 14, please. And we read that quickly. We don't want to cling to bitterness. No. No. Don't miss the opportunities that are waiting for you by giving yourself such names. You are a sweet person. Remain sweet. We don't like bitterness. Get away bitterness in your life. Anyone who is on Proverbs 14? Hey, what does he say? Verse 10. Amen. It's the last bit I want. Joy. Erase everything in that verse and remain with joy. Enjoy your joy. Don't let anyone take the joy that Christ has brought in your life. Amen. Remain joyful. Enjoy. No one can take the joy from you. Only your heart knows the bitterness. We don't know about your bitterness. We only come to know it when you show it out with your emotions, your face is grumpy and all the other stuff. But we don't know what's coming from your heart. But when you are joyful, you attract us like a magnet. Naomi spoiled a day by bitterness. Neither did she help the situation. She even burdened the donkey that was carrying if she was on one. If she was walking, her feet were heavy. Because if you've got bitterness, whatever you're doing, you're not enjoying. So this is why I'm saying, get rid of bitterness. God didn't make our lives to be people of bitterness. We want to cling on to this Jesus who has said, get rid of selfishness. Right now, the writer of Proverbs is saying, joy is in your heart and bitterness. But it's joy that I am preaching about this morning. That we need to cling on to joy through Jesus Christ. Doesn't Paul write to the Ephesians and say, don't let the sun go down with your anger? Naomi, 70 miles. I think she took almost about a week or two. It's not said in the Bible. I'm only anticipating the time they took. But Paul is saying, don't let the sun go down with your bitterness in your heart. Maybe by that time of Naomi, we didn't have the New Testament. But now, Naomi's are still with us. So we want to preach to them and say, don't let bitterness spoil your day. Don't let the sun go down with bitterness in your heart. Paul ends up by saying in Ephesians 4 verse 31, get rid of all bitterness. Yeah. Naomi. Naomi is dead. But the world is full of Naomis. They spoil their lives by being bitter. Haven't you heard what the Lord has said? He said, get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of selfishness. Naomi, when she heard that God is providing food to the people in Bethlehem, she left Moab. I'm praying that people who are still in bitterness and selfishness will leave that place of bitterness and selfishness and come back to Bethlehem. In Ruth's words, she says, don't urge me to leave you and turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my people. My God. Cling on. Cling on. Your Jesus, who doesn't like bitterness, your Jesus, who doesn't like selfishness, will be my Jesus. I will cling on to that. Nothing else. Your Jesus who does miracles is my Jesus. Is the one I want. Brothers and sisters, let's help the world to know this Jesus. Let's help the world to get rid of bitterness, selfishness. This pleases the Lord. This is the God that I want. This is the God I will cling to. And this is the God who will be my God. Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except through me. So if you want this God to be your God, Jesus should be your Jesus. How many of you have got a Jesus in their heart? Lift up your hands. If you've got Jesus in your heart, raise up your hand. Thank you. Cling on to that. Let's pray together. Father, we rejoice this morning because we've heard what's in your word. Naomi and Ruth, they retained because they heard there was a God who saves. There was a God who helps. And they came to Bethlehem. Father, we want to remain. We want to cling on those words. Wonderful words about you. The God of all situations. The God of miracles. The God of Jesus. We want you to be our God. Heavenly Father, but we cannot do that on our own strength. We ask the Holy Spirit always to guide us. Spirit of God, come on us. Spirit of God, come on us. Spirit of God, come on us. In all that we do, we invite you to be our guide. Father, thank you for this day. You knew about this day. So bless the ears that have heard this message. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.